Good evening. How's everybody doing? I'm doing great. I'm awake. Quick story before we get started. Sunday was busy, right? We had the Lord's Supper, business meeting, and we had a fellowship afterwards, and it was Faith Promise Sunday. Got to hear Brother Gary Ellison speak, and crazy things in my house. I don't pay attention as much as I should. But we rearranged our bedroom, and Lynn put all the medicine in the same spot. I'm blaming it on Lynn. All right. Now, I know Saturday night I went to bed early, earlier than I normally do, and I got a good night's sleep. And she told me that they had changed one of my medicines from a different vendor, so the pill looked different. As I'm taking my medicine, I'm looking, well, I got two pills that look different. But I take them. On top of that, the week before last, I got my second COVID shot. All right? Cramping and body aches. Well, by the time we ate breakfast, everything started tasting funny. So I'm getting nervous. By the time we got here to church and went through everything, I'm just keeping back from everybody. You know, went down to the fellowship. Food tasted great, but anything I drank tasted like metal. And come to find out, I took two sleeping pills. And that's why Sunday I was sitting there nodding off in church more than usual, I think, right? Anyways, but everything is great so far. Pay attention to your medication if you and your wife keep it together. Anyways, there's a little side story. We've been going through the 10 indictments of the local church. There's a sermon preached by Paul Washer back in 2008 in a conference he attended to pastors. It's been pretty eye-opening about how we are to carry ourselves and how preachers are supposed to be held accountable and make sure that we use the full counsel of God. And the one we're going to talk about tonight, the 10th indictment, is pastors malnourished in the Word of God. Pastors malnourished.
Can we get that gentleman back there?
Yes. Anybody need a book before I get started? I'm sorry. There you go.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. We'll be on page 36. Pastors malnourished in the Word of God. Text can be found in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He says, "I was listening a few months ago to all the horrendous things that are happening to our country." Remember, he wrote this back in 2008. He preached this back in 2008. "I don't know what you would call it anymore, a republic, a democracy, or a socialistic state. I was so burdened as I sat there listening, I was saying to myself, oh God, what can I do? Right now, Lord, honestly, with all that is in me, I will jump in the middle of the fire. If there is a charging rhino, I will jump in front of it. Just tell me what to do. Do you want me to go to Washington and just stand in front of the White House and preach until they throw me in jail? I'm tired of just preaching to Christians and in churches and in conferences. Oh God, the country is going to hell. What do you want me to do? Just throw me at them." And then he gives us some text here. He says, consider 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 16. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'll read the beginning verses. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats." What does that sound like? Amen. Today. "Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." The first verse says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Paul goes on to tell young Timothy that basically all kinds of destruction is going to break loose in culture. We're seeing that unfold before our very eyes. He says that everything is just going to be maddening, with men acting like beasts. Conrad Mbowe has said, "In Africa, we no longer have fear of beasts. We don't run from beasts. We fear men and run from men." He was, of course, talking about the effects of radical depravity in mankind. Paul tells us just that. The world is going to come unglued. That's what he's telling Timothy. What does it seem like the world's doing right now? Man, you know, we've got parents coming up. We've got young kids, and they're heartbroken that they're raising their children in this society, in the culture that we're living in. I got a grandbaby on the way. It breaks my heart knowing that because of their skin color now, they're going to have a hard life. But God's in control. God's in control. He continues to say, what else does he say? If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith. Yes, the world has lost its mind. God is telling us it is under my providence, but listen to me. Here should be your reaction in the midst of all sin breaking loose everywhere, in the midst of apostasy, in the midst of persecution. Here's what you need to do. Be constantly nourished up in the words of faith. What does that mean? Does it mean you listen to preaching and preaching and preaching? No, it doesn't. It means get into your Bible and read over and over and over again. In Matthew 4, Jesus says, you can't live off of bread alone, but the Word of God is the one that'll feed you. Right? We always want to run there and do something. We always do. We want to fix something. But God is seeking men of character, polished swords. First of all, be constantly nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. This whereunto thou hast attained is very important. It means that which you have been following. I think it is indicating to us that a simple intellectual study of Scripture will not achieve the goal that God has for His people. God's people must obey God's Word, period. They must begin following it. And you cannot learn doctrine well until you follow the doctrine you've learned. That makes sense. The best way I can describe it is everybody knows on Church Street, speed limit's 30 miles an hour when it's open, right? If you don't practice going 30 miles an hour, what's going to happen? You're going to get a driving reward, right? We must follow what we learn. God tells us everything He wants us to know in the Bible, and we must practice it. If we forget it, we need to read it again, read it again, read it again. The Bible needs to be what feeds us every day. You know, I don't even watch the news anymore because it just makes me angry. And sometimes I wish I would watch it because I miss the weather. You know, a couple weeks ago I was dressed in shorts and a t-shirt and it was cold. And I don't know when it rains until it rains, but anyways, I just can't watch TV. It's too distracting for me. And then Paul calls us to refuse profane and old wives' fables. All this emergent church stuff, much of the church growth stuff, all the cultural sensitivity that throws biblical sensitivity out of the window is just a bunch of little boys wanting to play church without the power of God in their life. It's a strong statement. It's true. It is David trying to fit himself into Saul's armor, to the wind with it. The more you trust in the arm of flesh, the less you're going to see the power of God. Paul then says, exercise thyself rather to ungodliness. That is, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Man of God, do you want revival? We should. So do I. We need an army, though. If mighty flaming pikes and swords and weaponry are to be dropped out of heaven for our fight, then we must be the caliber of men who can wield those things to fight with sound character. We should discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. How are we going to do that? We're going to stay in God's Word. You need to discipline yourself to prayer. Discipline yourself to the systematic reading of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation over and over and over again. Discipline yourself in your speech. Discipline yourself in the company you keep. That's important. Discipline yourself in when you go to bed and how you rise up. This is a war. We need to discipline ourselves. If you are a younger man under 30 or even under 40, being born in the age in which you have been born, unless you are some exception, you probably lack discipline because you have seldom been required to really work. Well, you have never needed to work for your food. And think about it. I've never really grown a garden. I know that I can go to the grocery store and buy what I need. Your father's probably never made you work so hard that your bones cried. The men who have accomplished much have been used of God and have been men of labor in the ministry. Effectual ministry is hard. It will cost you everything, and by the time you are an old man, you will be broken, but strong in the things of God. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having promise of the life that is now, or that now is, and of that which is to come. Who cares about your best life now? It's all about eternity. Someday you will stand in those granite halls before the Lord of glory, and the king of the greatest men on earth will be divided and split and cold. Some will be cast out in eternal hell, and some will be invited into eternal glory to live for eternity. These Olympic athletes, how majestic they are, but only for a moment. They start training when they're 4 or 5 years old. They never do anything but train until they're 22. Then they run a 9-second race for a medal that they hang on the wall. And that's it. That's it. Their moment of glory and all they have lived for is over. So can you not give equal effort for eternal things? We should. Some of the greatest men of God have been very limited in their bodies and their abilities, and they were so limited that they had to focus on one thing, and they gave themselves to the ministry. For bodily exercise profiteth little. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. This is not some martyr thing in which we uselessly give our lives to nothing, only to be pulverized without hope. No, we serve God, and God will honor us. We fix our hope on Him, and He gives us strength. Why is it so important for us to focus on Him? Anybody? Because we are weak, right? There's a lot of things, if I try to do on my own, I'm really going to mess it up. What gives us the strength to move on for tomorrow? It's my hope in Christ. He's the reason why I keep going on. This life is a vapor. He says, when I first preached this message, I was 47 years old, but I feel like yesterday I was 21. Where did it all go? It's just a vapor. While you have strength, preach. I praise God and His providence that as a young man I spent myself in the Andes Mountains and in the jungles of Peru doing what I no longer have the strength to do. While you are a young man, while there is strength in you, labor all your might. Take those stupid video games of yours and crush them under your feet. Throw that TV out the window. You were made for greater things than these. If you are a child of the King, nothing on this earth can satisfy you. Nothing. You will always be hungry. These things command and teach. Now there's so much here, but look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Give thyself wholly, every bit of us, that thy profiting may appear to all. Let us say that my child spills a glass of water on a wooden table. By the laws that God has placed in nature, the water heaps a bit on the table, so much that you can see it as a pool. You walk by it and you say, there's water spilled on the table. It's apparent to all, but then I come by, take a towel, lay it across the spilled pool of water, and lift it up. And you say, I no longer see any water. Where is it? Well, it's absorbed into the towel. Men, you are to meditate. Notice he said men. You are to meditate on and absorb these things of godliness and character. Pastors, I plead with you. You are not errand boys. You are not to spend your days catering to the whims of carnal churchmen. Get yourself in your study. Drink deep. Be so absorbed by the knowing of God that people say, where is he? He used to be such a man about town, such a friend to everyone, such a personable fellow. Where is he? He is absorbed in these things. We are men of God. We are ministers of the Most High. There should be an otherness about us. We should have a distant gaze in our eyes toward a distant star. The greatest thing we can do for our people is to be men of God, absorbed in the things of God, so that when we open our mouths to the Word of God, that when we open our mouths, the Word of God comes out. The main preaching pastors in the churches to which I belong have always given themselves to study. And this is important. In one church to which I belong, I talked to the man and to the other leaders. And at the time someone asked me something, I said this, please do this one thing. Take as much of the burden off that brother as we possibly can and let him live in that study with God. Because I have got children out here. And the greatest gift that man could give to me is to study, to show himself approved. And to come out in that pulpit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. Correcting and rebuking, giving great promises and warnings. He says, please do that for me. If you go to church every Sunday, and the pastor keeps preaching, and it never stirs you or convicts you, what is he preaching? There's not one of us in here that's perfect. There's not one of us in here that's blameless. I think everybody can agree that with our pastor, he doesn't cut no slack, does he? No, he doesn't. And I praise God for that. He stays true to the Word. You know, and there's a bunch of people who get angry with it. There's only one person they can take that up with, and that's God. That's God. He gives us our rules. He gives us our guidebook. He gives us the standard by which we are to live. He continues to say, Pastor, please do that for your people because God says, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. This verse means almost nothing in the evangelical community today. How many pastors and preachers do you think take it seriously? Seems like some men just like the status, right? He says, how many say to themselves, I need to pay close attention to myself to ensure salvation for me and for those who hear me? I have a question for you. If you are a pastor, when was the last time you examined your own life to see if you were in the faith? To see if you really know the Lord. I have great assurance when I study my own conversion, when I discuss it with other men, when I look over the 25 years of my pilgrimage with Christ, I have great assurance of having come to know Him. But even now, if I were to depart from the faith and walk away and keep going in that direction into heresy, into worldliness, it would be the greatest of proofs that I never knew Him. Wow. And that the whole thing was a work of the flesh. It's a pretty strong warning. No matter how long we've been in the ministry, we must always stay in the Word of God. I can tell you from experience in preaching myself, it's too easy to let my feelings and how the situations I'm going through currently try to make a point in the sermon I'm wanting to preach. I got to make sure that I'm not the topic of the sermon. I hope you understand what I'm saying. We call this presuppositions. We presuppose. We got to make sure that we stay in God's Word, in its context. We don't add nothing to it. We don't take nothing away. I know what I'm saying is shocking to many, he continues to say. You may think, oh my, I've never heard such a thing, but this is the timeless biblical truth you need to hear. Just read Pilgrim's Progress. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. May God bless His church. Been a great study, has it not? I wish I had a way with words like Paul Washer. But God gives us great men that we can follow, you know. And the 10 indictments against the modern church. You know, we discussed church membership, church discipline. And it all comes down to we got to make sure that we're doing exactly what God commands us to do. We have a responsibility to each other as church members. You know, the covenant we make with each other to hold each other accountable and to make sure that we're walking right in the light of the Lord. Anybody got anything to add? Well, thank you all for coming tonight. We'll move on to our prayer time. I've got a couple of prayer requests. Amanda Osborne, that's Lynn's sister, her younger sister. She's having gallbladder surgery in the morning, so if you would continue to pray for her. And then, of course, Joyce Young, she's still having seizures. She had another one yesterday while she was at the doctor. So we'll be praying for her and hope they can figure out that. Any other prayer requests? Roy Gunner. Yeah, Roy Gunner, his funeral is going to be Saturday. Yes, sir. What's their name? I'm sorry.
My name is Mina.
Mina. Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead. David McKee. McGee. You said he had bypass surgery? Yes, Miss Georgia. Praise the Lord. Linda Foster called today. Her test come back. Good. No cancer. So praise the Lord. You know, and with that, they at one scan, they seen something. There was a mass, and they was going to do a biopsy. And then when she went back, It was gone. And this was the follow-up to that. So praise the Lord, there is no cancer. Anybody else?
Remember Mary Rowlett.
Mary Rowlett. And just be in prayer for, you know, we've got Vacation Bible School will be coming up before you know it. And the youth are going to get to go back down to Florida. And just pray for all the events and safe travels and as we get back into the swing of things. And I don't have anything else. So, Cody, if you don't mind, I'll get you to open us up in prayer. And then when we're done, Brother James, I'll get you to close.
Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we bless us, dear God. We thank you for the one who's here, dear God. We pray for the ones that are not. Dear Lord, we pray that your hand of protection is on them, dear God, wherever they are. We pray for the prayer requests that were mentioned, dear God. Some families are hurting and some are praising our victories, dear God. And just pray and lift them up, dear Lord. We pray and that we use the lesson we learned in our lives, dear God, that we get deeply rooted in the Word of God, dear Lord, and that we of all avenues of our life, dear God, that are covered with your blood, dear Lord. We love you, Lord, and we ask the same in Jesus' name.